waiting.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah, it's,
you never, it's a lot easier down here. You never get a quorum.
It's a lot easier to corral you guys.
I don't think I'd be a very good committee chairman anymore. I wouldn't have my staff stuff like this out.
I know, actually, said, hey, this really wasn't necessary.
Hey, this is the takeoff of the Senate. I feel like there's a Senate down here. They got
this is really plush. Oh, geez.
Look at this desk.
Look at the art.
So you share a room with
here
Peter.
We're cutting budgets, and look at this desk. Probably cost $1,000 if it costs.
This?
At least.
As long as it's right through the last quote, that's okay.
It's
dope.
Which side of the room is smoking?
But the Alaska Loggers in Ketchikan have a beautiful conference table made out of spruce.
All right, let's call this meeting to order.
Laminated.
House Special Committee on Gas will come to order. Today's date is April 18th.
Correct.
Time is 9:35. Members present are Representative Pinalva, Representative Sunrise, and Cotton, and myself. I just talked to Terry Bannister, and if you read what she has to say here, she talks about the conflict of interest in the statutes, and I don't know if we mentioned
this. Read it or?
No. Yeah, of course. Go ahead and read it. Jonathan, did you get a chance to proof this and make sure all the numbers that we said are...
Yeah, everything, the numbers look right. You guys look good.
Okay, I agree.
You know,
this is not the same version we had before Saturday night. So,
well, it's the amendments. Yeah, it is. It's a version with the amendments. The only changes are the municipality instead of where it was used before.
Did we put in immediate on page 40?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
I would move that we eliminate it and we have language that conforms with both the federal act and the court decision.
Yeah, there's no objection.
Most direct.
Tom Chester, he was the one advocating that yesterday, but Terry Bannister talked to him and it's not needed. By removing it, it conforms to federal law.
So can I suggest we eliminate the words or severe?
No.
No, it has to be there.
Can't do that.
Well,
it has to conform to federal law.
Or at least it should.
It seems like the federal law is given the choice of saying direct or severe, and we're just saying we'll take direct.
Yeah. Where'd you go to English school?
Well, tell them what's wrong with it.
Well, it allows either one. So we conform with the federal statutes by allowing either word.
What was your interest in taking out severe?
Okay, is there any objection to that removing immediate?
No.
All right, there's no objection to that motion adopted.
Now, what about the other, do we have an amendment to take care of the conflict on that?
I talked to Terry about this, and she said there is a conflict, but the record shows that this is setting up a new way of making appropriations to the permanent fund, and it's a directive by the court. So what she said is the directive is already there, and the court's already given a directive. So even though there is an internal conflict, she doesn't really think it's a real problem.
I guess I have an inherent issue that we had to resolve the conflicts of legislation. I mean, 3 years from now, somebody's going to read the statute, they're not going to go and read the court case, or 5 years from now, to figure out how NPRA money is going to be allocated.
The court has made a decision that this is the way the funds are going to be allocated. Yeah. This way, not the way that the...
So the federal statute says that on NPRA money coming to the state, coming out of there, it's got to be offered up to municipalities, and then 50% of the remainder.
Right, goes into the
permanent. No, that's not federal law.
The permanent fund.
No, that's the court decision.
The permanent fund people say you take the total coming out of there, 50% of that goes to the permanent fund, and the other 50% gets allocated amongst.
So that would mean you'd have to put it all in. If we had $48 million, 24 of it would go to the permanent fund.
That's the record shows it. Representative Pichot.
I got another question. I didn't spend as much time on this. Page 1, lines 20 to 29. One of the questions John just raised, you have $48 million that came in, and we deposited 24 of that into the permanent fund because you're supposed to put half of that into the permanent fund. And then the other money was spent, or put in the general fund. And the remainder has been placed in the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Special Revenue Fund. It was already established. That has $6,100,000, and it says $300,000 has been appropriated for grants. I don't understand what that fund's all about. And on page 2, line 25, we established the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Special Revenue Fund. Now, according to this page 1, it's already been established. It was established in 1984.
Representative Cotton. I can help on two points. One is that...
Why don't you just join us?
Okay. Here. Is that in 1984, through a special act, an NPRA reserve fund was established, and it was really established as an interim type of measure, and the feeling was that it was a step toward following the federal law, but it was not a full implementation of that law. And so what happens in this bill is on page 4, on line 22, we say that the reserve established by HB 491 is a continuation of this fund, and that the balance of the monies transfer over.
Okay. And so what happens with that money there that's already in there? Does that legislature has to appropriate from that fund, so it's not a grant fund?
That would be correct.
There's $2.4 million still in the fund. Is that supposed to be used for the same purposes as this other, is what the court decided this other $24 million should be made available for?
That's correct, because that money, that's money that would then be placed in this fund within CNRA, from which the legislature could appropriate impact monies to eligible municipalities. And if I could add one other point in terms of the conflict that was pointed out by deleting what had been Section 2 in an earlier draft dealing with the permanent fund and the way monies lapse. And I think the whole question there in terms of was that rather than the standard situation which 50% of the lease or the royalties coming into the state automatically are transferred transferred to the permanent fund. It's just a situation here in which all the money coming in through this federal law is made available for appropriation to eligible municipalities, and 50% of the balance lapses. And that was the drafter's concern, is that even though we'd be following the intent of the permanent fund, it was possible that less than 50% of the monies coming in would actually be made available to the permanent fund.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So I move we put back Section 2. Does that suggest what you're saying?
No, I thought...
No, we're going.
We never...
Or
I thought that's what she was saying, that we needed to put that back in after her memo says.
It's rearranged, it's in G.
Oh, it is back in?
Yeah, I looked for it, I couldn't find it, it's there, she shipped it down.
No, I'm talking about section two on the old draft at page two.
Well, I think the, I prefer to leave section two out, but.
She claims it's a conflict.
To leave it out or in?
Leave it out.
It's a conflict, but what she said is that court order is directed that this is the way they disperse the funds.
Yeah.
And if you put it in, put that section two back in, I have.
The old section two, like, the bottom of the page. My problem with that is it almost is like we're amending the constitutional language, and there's no way we're.
That's not constitutional language. That's true.
But it's.
What it is that we've been told by the courts and federal government to treat our royalties off of NPRA land differently than our royalties off of any other land that we get. And the question is whether you write it in statute like section two does, and you put this except as otherwise provided, therefore kind of conceptually amending the permanent fund statutes. And I think my fear, I guess leading a trail in the book, saying there are ways to exempt money from going in the permanent fund, or just leaving it out, and everybody who needs to know will figure it out, you know, type of basis.
That'd be my, actually, yeah,
I would draw my
more comfortable with that.
Do
you
know what? To put section two back. I mean, there is a conflict, but that's fine.
Anything else we have?
I wanted to ask you, make sure I understood what happened to this fund. Now, we are continuing the fund that existed, that still has some money in it. In other words, it still has $2.4 million in the fund now. We're going to add how much to that fund?
Well, we would be making $24 million from the permanent fund available, where we would actually be placing that money in the fund.
How much more on top of the $2.4 million? The $24,370?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, then at the end of, that goes in there, so at the end of fiscal year 87, what happens to that money?
Okay, this is something that the permanent fund wanted to make very clear on the record, was that, like, when we look on page four, line eight, and we begin speaking of what happens with the lapsed monies. They want it very clear that this referred to prospective and retroactive monies, so that it would be viewed as saying that of the $48.6 million that the state received through this fund, all of that money is made, or, you know, that money is made available to the municipalities. Of the money remaining, 50% would go to the permanent fund, so that it was clear that it was 50% of the gross amount that the state received that goes to permanent fund, not 50% of the $24 million minus what went to the municipalities.
So therefore, if the end of fiscal year 87, that's what I want to get to first, what happens at the end of
Fiscal year 87, the account should be zero.
Because we will, during the budget process next year, appropriate whatever is necessary to the municipalities or the subdivisions that have been affected. So, say there's $26.7 million in the fund, and next year we say, okay, there's $4 million worth of impact, therefore there's $24 million left in the fund, or whatever, 23.
22.
Yeah, 22. $22 million left in the fund. Now, does that automatically then disperse at that point? Does it automatically lapse?
The permanent fund demands, their theory is they get, of the $48 million less disbursements to municipalities, they get half of the remainder.
So everything, all 22 would go to the permanent fund?
Right, under this thing here, they're saying that all is ours because the state already took the other 50%. So in the great search for loose money, this one is a dry hole.
Okay, but I still don't understand the process that money goes through. But it goes to the NPRA fund, and then we appropriate, and then it automatically moves out of that fund at the end of fiscal year 87. Is Is that correct?
Yes, that there is an automatic lapse at the end of the fiscal year.
I guess we would write it in the budget somewhere that the remaining and unencumbered balances at the end of FY7 are appropriated to the permanent fund. There'd have to be some kind of appropriation language in the budget like that.
I should say, seeing there's page 4, lines 8 through 10. Say that.
But I still think you got to appropriate it in an appropriation bill. It has to go in the budget bill that would say something like the unobligated unencumbered balances of the NPRA fund as of the end of the fiscal year are deposited in the permanent fund.
I don't understand that, because that's no different than rents and royalties coming in. We don't appropriate 50% of that or 25% of it. It just goes to the permanent fund.
Yeah, are you saying that?
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just trying to figure out how to... That's what Sam's asking. Is there an automatic appropriation process? Maybe there is.
Under
the dedicated fund section of the Constitution.
I believe what happens in this legislation is that the one thing the legislature would have to do distinctly would be to appropriate the money to the municipalities. The way things are delineated here, where the lapse money would go is already noted in statute and doesn't require further legislative action.
I think that's absolutely correct, but I think it's probably good to get someone to say that definitively, just in case it's going to be you're going to have it in finance, right? So
we might as well do a little work on
that. Okay, I will do that.
Okay.
Did you take care of the problem on
immediate?
I took the word immediate out of page 3, line 12.
Is there any other discussion on this?
No.
No, you're supposed to be here, but not to say
anything. I'll move the bill. Individual recommendations.
Is there any objection?
I don't hear what Mark has to say.
Oh, go ahead, Marco.
Maybe not.
Can I wait till the sun leaves?
I'd like you to take a look at page 2, line 10. The language from line 10 to 15.
You get to report it on your gun.
The language that says it also appears from the decision that the court would make the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska money that was deposited in the public high school fund subjects. That gives me a real problem in terms of statutory draft style, but it also reminds me that this bill was originally drafted by the attorneys for the people who are going to benefit from this legislation. Which I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but I wonder if that is even necessary to the legislation. It can only work against the state in any future disagreements about the legislation. And somewhere, anytime I see a sentence that's a paragraph long, when you can't say something simply and straightforward, there's trouble. And that, I know you lawyers like to.
Hey, no, you missed my clarifying amendments yesterday, Marco. I was on that kick yesterday.
But I wonder if you want to do something to take it. I don't think it's necessary. We ought to take it out.
Well, we later in the bill do provide that 0.5% goes into the public school fund.
And I want to get to that.
I guess I don't have any problem funding education.
I don't want to be the
then fight over.
But I guess what I'm proposing is that we delete find the right point somewhere around line 10 or 11 and cut it off. In fact, it'd be after the word appropriations on line 11. And delete the rest of that paragraph.
I tend to agree.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you delete it all or would you go to line 14 after the paraphrase. I'm not sure that the words subject to the same segregation, don't they modify this whole?
That's not a important conclusion.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to hurt anything to have that whole thing out, actually.
Yeah, so you want to leave the "and" on the end of line 15 and just knock out between the semicolons.
Right.
So moved. Is there any objection to Marco's amendment?
Well, you have to conform that on page 4 then, lines 13 and 14.
That's correct.
Well, we don't have to change that.
No, we don't have to. No.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, if there's no objection to Marco's amendment, then it's adopted.
Okay, I'd move on line 22, change the word "grants" to "appropriations." Page 2, line 22.
Page 2, line 22. Appropriations? Mm-hmm. Is there any objection to that motion?
Okay, if there's no objection, then it's enough.
Would you also take a look at page 3?
Don't push it, Marco.
Paragraph D. What this paragraph says to me is that whatever money is in the fund, we're establishing the intent now that we should spend it all for appropriations to the community.
No. It's made available for.
We had a little discussion.
Line 22.
Yeah.
That's Sam's language from yesterday, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, well, that was Bannister's language, but the point is that you don't have to. It used to be. It would be. It shall be made available. Shall be given to the CRA, and they would make grants. So we wanted to change it to make the point of saying that you need an appropriation. And the court wanted to make a point of saying we had to allow them a crack at it. So we're specifically making it available.
I already signed up.
Let me just ask one more question, and that's on line 26. On the same page, it says grant funds. Do we want to say we use the appropriation? You want to change
that?
Yeah,
appropriated, may use the appropriated funds.
I tried that.
Received by your D.
Yeah.
No, just say use the funds received. Just knock out that.
It runs use conflict
if the funds.
37. Use 13.108, which states that 50% shall be permanent.
Any objection to that?
Do you see that on page 3, line 26? Davis moved delete grant, insert D.
Insert what? D?
The funds.
Okay, is there any, other changes?
I would just ask you to look at line, page 4, and line 10.
What was the argument? We had a motion to remove all of that allocation language yesterday. I think either Sam moved it or I did or somebody.
I moved it and I withdrew my motion.
No, we had an argument why we should leave it there.
It was largely brought up by Jim Kelly of the Permanent Fund wanting it very, yeah, very, very clear as to where the last money is to go.
Yeah. We agree.
Is there any objection to moving this bill out? Individual recommendation?
Okay.
Okay. All on the floor.
No objection, the bill moves from the committee. Great, thank you guys. How'd it go yesterday? Did you close out yesterday?
Labor?
Yeah.
Went good. Went fine. Did anybody say anything?